Locked On Grizzlies post game. It is late, so I'm foregoing the normal intro. We're going right at it. I am Peter Edmiston, bringing you this one at about 1 a.m. right after the Grizzlies Clippers in a classic game and an enormous win for the Grizzlies. Far and away the biggest win this year and one of the biggest in recent memories, knocking off the LA Clippers 111-107 with an extraordinary finish. Capped off by Marc Gasol hitting a corner three, another game-winning three for Marc Gasol, and another memorable celebration, walking around with that Conor McGregor swag walk with little floppy arms. Grizzlies did watch UFC 205 in their hotel in Milwaukee, so you know that's fresh on their minds, watching Conor beat up Eddie Alvarez a little bit, and Marc showing his love to the Irishman. What an incredible performance from Mike Conley. And Marc Gasol, I tell you what, coming up big down the stretch with the trap that led to the turnover that gave him the opportunity to make that shot on that that one of those last possessions of the game. Marc finishes with 26 points on 4 of 5 from behind the arc. 26 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Mike Conley, the standout performer yet again against the Clippers. He owns the Clippers this year. Mike, 30 more points for the game. He had 30 in the opener against the Clippers. 9 of 12 from the field. 7 of 9 from 3. That means in the two games combined, he's 14 of 20 from behind the arc against the Clippers. That's 70%. Shot 75% from the field. He had 30 points on 12 shots. Oh, and did I mention the 5 rebounds and 8 assists and 3 steals? To go along with that, he comprehensively outplayed Chris Paul, who finished with 9 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals, couple turnovers, and a whole lot of complaining, as really did the entire Clippers team. You know, Dave Pasch, the play-by-play guy on ESPN for the broadcast, earned a lot of credibility and a lot of love from Memphis and, frankly, the rest of the NBA when he made the call late after the Clippers were called for a foul. Blake Griffin was called for a foul on James Ennis, and he said, and there's the foul, and the Clippers complain. Said it so matter-of-fact as if he was just saying, yep, there's the sunrise, and there it goes up in the sky. Because that's what they do. The Clippers, for all their talent, and they do have a tremendous starting five, they've got some of the best players in the NBA. They are, coming into this game at least, they were the best team in the NBA by far, in terms of net rating and all those things. They had the best point differential to start in, I guess, in their first 11 games. They had a better point differential than the Warriors last year. All those things are true. But, man, do they bitch about a lot of stuff. Oh, man. I mean, nonstop. And it was absolutely apparent in that game. Now, to get into some of the finer details of this one, I mean, it's a little obscured right now because, you know, I'm coming at you right after the game is over, and all I can think about is that beautiful last play where Marc Gasol is spotting up in the corner. I mean, this is your five spotting up in the corner, and DeAndre Jordan, who is, you know, covering Marc, is sort of forced into a tough decision because J.J. Redick ends up covering Mike Conley one-on-one, and Conley does a great job of getting past him. And so as Conley gets past him, it's now that side of the floor, the ball side of the floor, is just those four guys, Conley and Gasol matched up with Redick and DeAndre Jordan. The rest of the floor is pretty well cleared because the Grizzlies have spaced out on the other side, so all of the defenders are pretty well out of the paint. So Conley is driving in. Now, either DeAndre Jordan can let Conley go and wonder if there's going to be any other weak side help, and it didn't look like the weak side help was going to get there in time, or he can try to help onto Conley, but that's the old helping one pass away, the dreaded thing that you don't want to see. And that's exactly what he ended up doing. He helped one pass away, and Conley dropped it off to Marc Gasol, who hit that beautiful corner three. It was a good design on the play, and it was executed flawlessly by the two guys you would expect, Marc and Mike, who combined for 56 points for the Grizzlies tonight. And it was an epic Grizzly Clipper game. It had that edge to it. It had that anger. It had Andrew Harrison earning a lot of love from a lot of folks by doing some pretty wild things, some of them good, some of them not so good. The The not so good was when he flipped over Luke Mbamute like he was doing what I called it an inverted power slam. Really, it's what it looked like. We've seen that. I think I saw. For those of you that are wrestling fans like me, you might have seen the Hart Foundation used to do that. Jim the Anvil Neidhart used to do that to Bret Hart. He would slam him on top of guys like that, like do a little inverted slam. That's what you saw there. It wasn't much to it. Flagrant one, no biggie. At first, people thought it was like a flagrant two or some kind of crazy move. It really wasn't that bad, but it was nice to see Andrew Harrison get into it. And then not long thereafter, he chases down Chris Paul and blocks him on an open layup, which was a great, athletic, tremendous play that saved a basket. And ultimately, you know, as you see how the game unfolded, that basket was key. Great. You got every bit of what you could get out of Andrew Harrison. Still some limitations, a lot of limitations on offense and quite a few on defense, honestly. But the guy was a gamer, and he gave big minutes because he kind of had to. Chandler Parsons, who started this game and played 14 minutes in the first half, did not play in the second half. His knees were iced up pretty heavily on the sidelines. That's not abnormal. That's kind of what most guys do. I suspect it was probably more precautionary, or maybe even I don't think it was a minutes limitation thing, because I don't think they would have played all those minutes in the first half. I think probably just a precautionary thing, but he didn't play in the second half. So you had to see more minutes from Harrison. You had to see more minutes from James Ennis. You had to see Troy Williams got out there for nearly 9 minutes in the second half. It was a little bit of a committee work being done to try to take over some of those minutes at the three. And the Grizzlies, it's a very wing deficient group right now. I mean, without Tony Allen, who they desperately could have used, as J.J. Redick was firing up seven threes in the second half, scoring 29 points, running James Ennis in particular, but also Andrew Harrison ragged off screens. Man, you have to be very tough, very strong, and very experienced. The Clippers, their first team offense, the way they've set screens and run Redick off of those, it's a maze. It is so difficult to get around all those screens, and it's tiring, and he's a master at it. He has great little moves. So it was tough, and you could see that the Grizzlies pushed and got everything that they could possibly get out of Ennis and Harrison and Troy Williams, and it wasn't all that much. Combined, those guys gave you 17 points, 10 of them from Ennis, and 5 of those came at the foul line. I mean, those guys combined made 5 shots. You're not getting a lot of production out of that position. The 2 and really the 3, the Grizzlies are struggling. It's amazing when you look at the starters and you look at the fact that you got a combined 18 points from your starting 2, 3, and 4, and you still scored 111 points on the road against the league's best defense. It tells you how good Marc Gasol was, how good Mike Conley was, how good Zach Randolph was coming off the bench. I don't mean to slight Zebo. 18 points, 7 rebounds. He had some very, very big moments in this game, even if it was a little dicey. Again, in the last 2 or 3 minutes, figuring out what to do with him against a team like the Clippers that does so much pick and roll. Zach did an admirable job of fighting through and doing what he could do, but he got beat pretty badly a couple times on the defensive end down the stretch, was bailed out by multiple teammates. But you know what? He made up for it on the offensive end. This has been the story of Zach for this season. And you know what? You probably have to have the guy in there. And he was in there. He was in there late in the ball game. Vince Carter, another turn back the clock, epic performance from Vince. 12 points on 5 of 10 shooting. Once again, playing critical minutes in key moments. He was sensational. I just thought, all in all, you look at the team effort, you look at what they had to overcome, the effort with which they played, the fact that it got, and this was, you could also see, by the way, the rookie head coach start to come out too. This was a rookie head coach situation, because with about, I guess it was a 2:40 left in the third quarter, you saw David Fizdale decide to take both Marc Gasol and Mike Conley out and rest them and try to roll for the end of that quarter with a lineup of Andrew Harrison, James Ennis, Vince Carter, Jermichael Green, and Zach Randolph. And that did not go well at all and very nearly cost the Grizzlies the game. At that point, the Grizzlies were up 13. Then lo and behold, over the course of the next 4 or 5 minutes of game time, the Grizzlies end up giving up that lead to 17-4 Clipper run. And you know, it was even, you know, at some point in that run, the Grizzlies did bring back, and you saw David Fizdale bring back, you know, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley at the beginning of the fourth quarter. That run bridged the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth, but it was too late because you'd given the Clippers life. They didn't play it all that well to that point. Hadn't really been able to get their offense going. The Grizzlies were getting really good looks throughout and kind of had kept the game at a nice, comfortable 10 to 15 point margin for the most part. Clippers hadn't really been able to cut into it until that point. That was a rookie head coaching mistake. You have a team that is so deficient in shooting and wings and doesn't have a lot of talent out there in a lot of key spots. You have to keep, and if you're not going to have a minutes restriction or limitation or whatever on these guys, then you're going to have to keep one of Mark or Mike out there pretty much at all times. You can't, even a 2.5 minute stretch, you just can't get away with against a team as good as the Clippers. And you saw it. It was like snap of the finger, boom, here come the Clippers. And that energized them, put them right back in the mix, and set us up for a legendary fourth quarter, which was tremendous. It's a great win, though. This is one of those that you can get caught up in the details. And there are some interesting details in this, don't get me wrong. But the totality of just getting that win against a really good Clippers team, like I said, the best defense in the league, best team in the league to this point, doing that on the road. You didn't have Tony Allen. You aren't going to have Brandon Wright for a while. There was an injury update earlier in the day. He had debridement surgery done on his injured ankle. The hope is that he will be able to come back in 2 to 3 months. But it's going to be just a kind of a wait-and-see approach because he's going to have to wait 4 to 6 weeks before he can really even get involved in any kind of a physical therapy, rehab-type situation to any major degree. So you just have to wait and see how that goes. I like I said on Twitter, I think you just have to assume now that Brandon Wright's not going to play this season. And if you get something from him, then great. Consider that a bonus, but you probably should go ahead and plan for your season as if he's not going to play. So the Grizzlies were missing key pieces, you know, Chandler Parsons. And when he played in the first half, I know I'm kind of all over the place here, but this is the post game. It's late, so forgive me if I'm rambling a bit. But Chandler Parsons, he looks like he's getting rustier. You would think that through playing he would get a little looser, but in this game at least he got kind of rustier as the game went on. And it was evident that he was not, even by his new standards, he was not 100% or anywhere close. And that's probably, you know, why you didn't see him in the second half, because it was obvious that he was having some problems. He was questionable going into the game anyway. You know, I think all the wear and tear of, you know, getting his body back into it is kind of catching up to him, and he just looked more than a step slow, 2 or 3 steps slow, didn't look confident. You know, the only time he really made his baskets were those little fadeaways, those leaners. He would pump fake. He had a couple, 2 or 3 open looks, and just, you know, pass them up. He didn't look like himself. So hopefully he's going to be okay. Maybe I kind of half expect him to miss that Dallas game just to kind of recover a little bit and then to kind of see where he's at. But I don't think there's anything to be worried about. I think it's probably just one of those situations where you're trying to recover from an injury that you've been out for a long, long time. And, you know, getting yourself back in the mix is not easy to do, especially when you have to jump in on the fly in the middle of a really tough stretch of games. I think that's that says it all. Amazing, too, that the Grizzlies, when you look at this, they won by shooting threes. I mean, let's just take nothing away from it. And it was really Mark and Mike who were combined 11 of 14 themselves. But the Grizzlies as a whole, 15 of 26 from behind the three-point line. 15 of 26. They made 15 threes and 16 free throws in the game. I mean, this is wild stuff for the Grizzlies, but that's what bailed them out. You know, continually hitting big three after big three, so many of them coming from Mike. This is what the offense does for you. And they turn the ball over way too much. I mean, you saw the Clippers score 24 points off of 17 Grizzly turnovers. You know, that was a huge factor that kind of kept them in the game when the rest of their Clipper offense really wasn't doing much. But the three-pointer and the spacing that you can get without necessarily playing with pace, it's been a constant drum that I've been banging here on Locked On Grizzlies, and I think it's a fair point. You need to play with space, but you don't necessarily need to play with pace. I don't think that benefits this group, especially when you see how thin they are right now. You know, it was really only seven guys that played the bulk of the minutes out there, and especially in the second half. It doesn't do anybody any favors to play really, really fast. And if you're going to have to play Mike Conley and Marc Gasol 37 and 38 minutes like they did tonight, well, you really don't want to play them all that fast because they're just not going to be able to stay healthy. So this was a good mix of playing at a controlled pace, not very fast, but still keeping the tenets of space within the offense. That was very, very important going forward. Not much of Jarrell Martin, a little cup of coffee for him. Interesting to see how his minutes have changed over the course of the year. A little cup of coffee for Deontay Davis in the first quarter, and just in the first half, rather. And just for what it's worth, he didn't play great, but he was a plus 10. He was out there for one of the best stretches of the game for the Grizzlies. He was plus 10 in his 8 minutes. So it's not nothing, right? No, I know. You're going to tell me, and you're not wrong, you're going to tell me that Chandler Parsons was plus 14 in his 14 minutes, and that's true. And that doesn't mean that he played well, and you're right. But I like Deontay Davis, so I'm going to cherry pick what I want to make him look better. Come on, guys. You know how this works. You guys have been listening to this for a while. You know how I am. I have to cherry pick a few for my guy, right? Deontay was not ready for this game. I have to be totally honest. He was it was a little too big for him. A lot of big eyes out there. A lot of rookies. This was a big moment playing in LA in this rivalry game, and you could tell this was a pretty intense moment. Some guys stepped up, some guys not quite. And I would qualify Deontay Davis in the not quite category. But for the Grizzlies, they moved to 2-1 on this road trip now with a chance to close out with a win in Dallas to make it a very successful 3-1 road trip. Now, what you don't want to do is to take the momentum from this game and take it to Dallas and then to play really horribly. You hope that there's enough emotional energy left to play a good game in Dallas, because if you lose that one and you put on a lackluster effort, then, you know, it doesn't eliminate this thing. This is a big and important win for morale and everything else, but it does take a little bit of the edge off, and it is kind of like, you know, you would have split the series anyway. You would have expected to lose in L.A. and win in Dallas. So, you know, if you flip-flop them, it's only of limited value. So don't – I hope there's something left, but I don't know. It's going to be tougher than it looks, because Mark and Mike both are going to be coming off of big minutes nights. And, you know, same thing. To a lesser extent, Vince Carter continues to rack up these minutes. Who knows what Chandler Parsons, you know, he will want to play in Dallas, I am sure. The motivation will be very strong for him, and maybe that's why they held him out in the second half, knowing that he's going to want to play in that game. But, you know, given what happened in this one, it might be wise to sit him out of that game, even though he may want to play. I don't know. I just know that would be a nice win to wrap up a really successful road trip for the Grizzlies, and to take them up to 7-5 with that win. But we'll see. We'll see what he can do. In the meantime, just enjoy this one as you're going to work. And it's probably way, 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 way early for you when you're listening to this. Hell, I know it's super late at night for me. I'm right there with you. When you're hearing this, trust me, it's just a few hours after I recorded it. I'm half delirious right now. I got to wake up and do a radio show at 7 a.m., so I'm recording this not long enough, frankly, before that. So a little sympathy here would be great. Thank you for listening, though, in the meantime. Really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown. If you have any questions, comments, etc., please feel free to shoot me a tweet at Peter Edmiston. You can email me peter@peteredmiston.com. I love that. I appreciate everybody on the Locked On Podcast Network for all the support. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast and supporting it. Tell your friends, subscribe. It makes a difference to us to have those subscriptions and to have those ratings. It really does. It helps us out a lot. So if you like what you hear, please let everybody know that. That is tremendous. In the meantime, have a great Thursday. I know you will. You're euphoric after that win last night. So have a great Thursday. Enjoy yourself. Coming up tomorrow on the pod, by the way, Matt Herdlicka of Grizzly Bear Blues joins me to talk about cap stuff, about trade possibilities, about what the Grizzlies can do to help to remove some of the deficiencies that they've got at the wing spots, how they can both work for the long term and for the short term to help the team out. A very interesting conversation. You're going to enjoy that. That will be on tomorrow's pod. But in the meantime, have a great Thursday. Appreciate you guys. And remember, thanks for staying locked on Grizzlies.